Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad that you've joined us this week, and we took a week off last week on the entire website. We're glad to be back with you on this Friday. If you're just joining us, if you're just jumping into the podcast, just finding it on iTunes or maybe through Facebook or somewhere else, this is actually part three of a four-part series. This is the 57th episode of our podcast, and so if you will jump onto iTunes or your favorite podcast app or go to our website, you can find episodes 55 and 56. And we're sharing in this four-part series a list of 20 things I want my children to know. As we've said a couple of times, this is not a full list. There are hundreds of things we want our children to know, of course. But these are 20 very foundational, very important things that we want to make sure that we instill in our children. And we talked about on the first podcast in the series that if you will have this kind of list in your mind, not my list, but your own list in mind, that it helps with decision making because you are filtering each decision with your children through this list. I'm not going to rehearse everything we've talked about so far, but we have mentioned five on each of the first two programs. We have five more for you today, and I hope that you will, if you have not done so, go back and listen to episodes 55 and 56, where we shared numbers 1 through 5 and numbers 6 through 10. And so on this week's program, we're going to begin with number 11 and share with you five more things, the 20 things I want my children to know. So I'm just going to start with number 11. I want my children to know manners. Now, the next two, both number 11 and number 12, are connected, but I want to break this one sort of out on its own. And the reason is because it is an emphasis that Leah and I strive to have with our children. And trust us, they aren't perfect at it. This is a battle all the time, but to have manners. But I want my son and my daughter to be children who have those manners, and it takes a lot of work. But the reason I want them to have those manners is not just so they can get a good job one day or something like that. The main reason I want my children to have manners is because it will help them reach people with the gospel. You know, we don't have those manners, that common courtesy. We're putting up walls that simply do not need to exist. We're putting up walls that could keep someone from really listening to the truth. But also, manners show respect. And even if someone never obeys the truth, if someone never really listens to us teach the truth, people will listen to someone who says ma'am and sir, who says yes and no instead of yeah and nan. People will listen to one who knows not to interrupt, which, by the way, is our biggest battle in teaching manners. Now, all that may seem quite old school, and I understand that, but I believe it's vital to their greatest success in life, both in this life but also in striving to reach others for eternity. And so I want my children to know manners, those things of common courtesy. We're going to keep battling it out, and frankly, I'm going to fail at times to have manners, to demonstrate those manners, but I'm going to try. And so we're going to try to teach that to our children. Number 12, I also want my children to know what it means to be a true gentleman and a true lady. Now, as I said, this is tied to the previous point. These two overlap a little bit, but I absolutely hate how the words gentleman and lady are so commonly used in our society. I want you to just think about this. Virtually the only time you hear the word gentleman used in our society anymore is in describing a place where men gawk at women as sexual objects. Our society calls them gentlemen's clubs. I mean, is that really what we mean? And we use the word lady in our day simply as a synonym for anyone who is female, just a female. I don't want to use those words that way in my house. I want my son to know that a gentleman is a man who treats women with dignity and respect, who looks people in the eyes, who genuinely listens, who still does those chivalrous acts of kindness. Now, that may be a dying breed, but I want him to make a difference in the world because he is showing proper respect. And I want my daughter to know that a lady is not just a biological woman, but a lady is one who is modest and discreet. She is inwardly strong, but she's outwardly gentle. I want her to know that a lady is one who respects her sexuality and who saves that sexuality for her husband in the bonds of marriage. I want her to know that a lady speaks with grace, seasoned with salt, Colossians 4 and verse 16. I want my children to know what it means to really be a true gentleman and a true lady. Now, that expresses itself in what we just talked about a few moments ago. I want them to know manners. But I want them to know those things very deeply, what a gentleman really is, what a lady really is, despite what our society would have them to think that they are. Number 13, I want my children to know how to take failure and rejection. And I know somebody that's listening to this and they're saying, wait a minute, you want your kids to fail? Well, don't tell my kids this, but sometimes, yes, I do. Now, the point is, I want them to fail while they're still under my roof so I can help train them in how to take times when they are rejected or when they aren't the best. Here's a soapbox, okay? I'm stepping up in my soapbox as I record. I cannot stand the everybody gets a trophy society we live in. I think that's fine for 3- and 4-year-olds, but by the time a kid is 9 or 10 or 11, they need to know that losing is part of life, and they need to know how to handle it when they're simply not the best. Not everyone is the best, and that's okay. If they don't learn that under that concept under your roof, how are they going to handle it when they fail a college course? Or when an employer passes them over for another candidate, how are they going to handle those things then? But further, there's a spiritual side to this. We are going to fail spiritually at times. Romans 3 and verse 23 still reminds us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 13 verses earlier in Romans 3:10, we are told there is none righteous. No, not one, quoting from the Old Testament. I don't want my children, of course, to be proud of when they sin, but I do want them to learn from it and mature from it, to learn from those times when they fail the Lord. They need to feel remorse. They need to feel sadness. But one sin does not need to so destroy them that they cannot mature from it through the grace of God. Of course, in reality, I don't really want my children to fail, but sometimes it's okay if they do, so long as it's under my roof and I'm helping them to see that mistake for what it is, but how to grow and mature. I need to help them understand that not everyone in life gets a trophy. There are some who are just better at certain things. But if you are the best you can be, and if you learn from your mistakes, as John Maxwell put it, if you fail forward, then everything's going to be okay. On this week's program, we're continuing a list of 20 things I want my children to know. We're doing numbers 11 through 13. So far on this week's program, we have discussed the fact that I want my children to know manners, and I want them to know what it means to be a true gentleman and a true lady. And then just a moment ago, we talked about how I want them to know how to take failure and rejection. Two more this week. Number 14, I want my children to know what it means to love the New Testament church. And again, that's deeper than it sounds. I don't just want my children to grow up and quote-unquote go to church. I want them to love the New Testament church. We've mentioned Ephesians chapter 5 a couple of times in this series so far, but that passage in Ephesians chapter 5 reminds them that Christ died for His bride, the church. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 says that He shed His blood for the church. You don't do those kinds of things without great passion, great love, immense love. I know and I fully understand that the church is under fire in our culture, but I love the church. The church is God's family, and I want my children to have that deep love in their heart. I want them to be proud that they are part of a family made up of brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world. I want them to support the church with their money, with their time, with their heart, with their words, with everything that they have. I want them to see just how beautiful the church is. I want them to know that, yes, there are struggles within Christianity, that Christians don't get along all the time, but the church is a wonderful thing. Church is a wonderful family. And, of course, it has the greatest Savior, Jesus. I want them to know what it means to love the New Testament church. Number 15, and the last one we'll discuss on this week's program, I want my children to know that it's okay to have emotions. Now, I include this one because it is okay to teach that to our daughters, but our world seems to basically tell our sons that they just need to be stoic, unemotional, nothing bother them. My Lord wept, John 11 and verse 35. My Lord was angry in John chapter 2. He was happy many times. He was frustrated. All of our emotions are given to us by God. And I want to teach my children that it is okay to have emotions and to express those emotions. I think our children need to spend a lot of time in the Psalms to notice how those different poets, David and others, shared various emotions with the Lord. Yet God inspired those poems and allowed those poems to be collected into the sacred texts of the Bible. Now, we cannot allow our emotions to control us, but I want our children to know that they are multifaceted people, and that God created all those emotions to keep us healthy, to help us express ourselves. If they feel a need to cry with joy or cry with sadness, that's quite all right. If they feel a need to be angry, so long as they don't sin, it's okay to be angry. If they feel a need to be happy, of course, we want them to be happy and joyful and frustrated and every other emotion. It's all okay. Our daughters seem to be okay with that. But sons in society are told just to buck up, get along, don't cry. I want my son to be strong, but I want him to understand the emotion is quite all right. And so this week, we've continued our list of 20 things I want my children to know with numbers 11 through 15. I want them to know manners. I want them to know what it means to be a true gentleman and a true lady. I want them to know how to take failure and rejection. I want them to know what it means to love the New Testament church. And then I want them to know that it's okay to have and to express emotions. I hope this series is encouraging you as a parent. As I've said, I don't want you just to take my list and make it your list. I want you to use this as a springboard to think of things that you really want your children to know, the most foundational things that you want your children to know, so you can make good decisions and filter life through that lens that you are trying to instill in your children. Next week, Lord willing, we'll be back with you to conclude this series of 20 things I want my children to know, and I hope you will join us then. But until then, remember that your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.